Good morning. My apologies for putting words into the silence. Yeah, I think we're really in the, it feels really like the depth of winter. It's like yesterday, the high was like, I don't know, -8 degrees Celsius. And I talked to my mom on the phone yesterday, and they sort of have a similar wave of really cold weather. And then next week, just as for us, it should warm up a little bit. But right now, it's winter and it's cold. And this time of year always reminds me of Dogen's, a poem by Dogen, who wrote, "If this greatest cold does not penetrate into our bones, how will the fragrance of the plum blossoms pervade the entire universe? If this greatest cold does not penetrate into our bones, how will the fragrance of the plum blossoms pervade the entire universe?" And so we sit. Some of us had a chance to be at Zeshin a few weeks ago. And today we have created this day for ourselves, the forms and the structures to come and to sit in silence and stillness together. And maybe you've already had a chance to see what's present for you. Thoughts about ourselves, thoughts about others, feelings about ourselves, feelings about others, planning your statistics class for the next week, and recognizing, oh, I don't really have to plan this right now. I can let this go. I can come back to this. These are all wonderful thoughts and planning things, and I don't have to do this right now. Getting caught, noticing, returning to the breath, to the body, to the koan. Just to this moment. And also to be aware that this, at least for me, the urge to plan and be prepared. Is somehow connected to not quite trusting things to work out fine if I don't really plan and prepare and think things through and be ready for whatever might happen at some future point. And maybe there are other thoughts and feelings that come up for you. So there's something I think special about Zazen, that it really allows the things that need to show up for me to just show up. and that it's very different for different people. But that somehow what needs to show up will present itself. On retreat, I was the liturgy master, and a few of you were able to work with me on that. And that too is a wonderful field of practice. And we can sort of see how we want to get it right. You know, and we want to be seen as competent and keeping the whole thing together and being prepared and being ready and being awake and being right there. And then that may come with a whole another layer of things. It's like, this is too difficult, I can't do this, I'm such a klutz, I shouldn't be the person handling the delicate objects. And it's like, well, let's try it out. Give it a try. So much of what I'm giving energy are sort of thoughts, beliefs, plans. And it's not that there is anything wrong with that. But I think underlying that is sort of a fundamental, not quite trusting what is actually here. And I think liturgy is a great place to practice with that, to see it show up, to throw yourself into the flow, to miss the bell, to miss something else, to do the clackers, to realize, this is the moment that we're in, and I thought that this was going to happen, but now it looks like that is actually called for. And to do that and to just move on. Right? It's so easy for me to sort of then get into the loop of, I really should have, and what will I do next time to make sure that that doesn't happen again, and which only means that I'm going to miss my next clue as well. But again, the beautiful about liturgy is it provides that field of practice. It's like a mirror that reflects back what I'm actually paying attention to in my mind in that particular moment. And to see how connected I am with what's around. Bernie Glassman, when he sort of stepped back to think about what to dedicate his practice to, had this retreat where I think they were outside in DC in a siege retreat, and it was amazingly cold, probably just as cold as this one, and it was totally snowy, and sort of thinking about what are the forms, what are the ways, what is sort of the central vow to guide his work from that point on. And sort of the question that he mentioned was, how do we bring Zen into our life as a question? And then he noticed, and then he said, but Zen is life. What is there to bring? And bring into what? And he said, the point is to see life as the practice field. Every aspect of our life has to become practice. So there's a koan that might help us explore that a little bit. It's case 25 in the Book of Serenity. The rhinoceros fan. I think you maybe, a few of you may be familiar with that one. So one day, Yang Guan called to his attendant, "Bring me the rhinoceros fan." The attendant said, "The fan is broken." Yang Guan said, "If the fan is broken, then bring me the rhinoceros." The attendant had no reply. Zifu drew a circle and wrote the words "rhino" inside it. So that field of practice for the two of them, teacher and attendant, it's often a close relationship. Staying aware when the teacher needs tea, or if a guest comes in, or if they need a cushion, or they need anything else. So it's a way of being intimate and close. And so when Yang Guan called to his attendant and said, "Bring me the rhinoceros fan," what was he really asking? And the attendant said, "The fan is broken." This line, it's like it breaks my heart. Because I think the attendant is maybe not just talking about the fan. What is it that brings us to practice? What was it that brought you to practice? Maybe the sense that something fundamentally is broken. Maybe broken in you, maybe broken in the world, maybe broken in how things work. It gets you to realize that something is not quite the way you think it should be. And so we come, we read books, we go and talk to teachers, we practice with people to investigate, to practice. The attendant said, "The fan is broken." Yang Guan said, "If the fan is broken, then bring me back the rhinoceros." How is that possible? What is that rhinoceros? And the attendant had no reply. Sitting in Zazen, doing liturgy, maybe there's a moment when you can see and notice a thought like that coming up. Judging yourself for what did or didn't happen. It's a way of really seeing how your mind works, what your mind does, what your familiar stories, beliefs, thoughts actually are. And in the quiet and in the spaciousness and in the stillness, to experience those thoughts and beliefs differently. Opening up some space and to not immediately jump into believing them. Maybe saying, huh, look at that. Is that what I'm believing again? The attendant said the fan is broken. During this Ango period of the village Zendo, the study text is Uji, being time. So I was curious what Dogen might have to say about that. Dogen writes, the truth merely manifests itself for the time being as an ordinary person. Because you think your time or your being is not truth, you believe that the 16-foot golden body is not you. Is it true that the 16-foot golden body is not you? At this time, you enlighten the entire world with 3 heads and 8 arms. You enlighten the entire world with a 16-foot golden body. To fully actualize the entire world with the entire world is called thorough practice. To fully actualize the entire world with the entire world is called thorough practice. What is that like when performing a liturgy position? To enlighten the entire world with 3 heads and 8 arms, to enlighten the entire world with a 16-foot golden body, to fully actualize the entire world with the entire world. Thorough practice. In liturgy. The 8 arms appear and the incense appears. The stick gets offered. The bell rings and the chanting starts. Sitting down, and the table appears. 3 heads and 8 arms. Dogen also has something else helpful to say. He writes, thus the time being half actualized is half of the time being completely actualized. So even if it feels like I think I missed half of it, maybe that half that was not missed was fully present. And a moment that seems to be missed is also completely being. A moment that seems to be missed is also completely being. In the same way, even the moment before or after the moment that appears to be missed is also complete in itself, the time being. After the moment that appears to be missed. That's usually the point when I don't trust that that was also completely the time being. It's like, oh, I want to go back. I want to redo that. I want to change that. Oh, and I want to plan so that it doesn't happen again in the future. But the liturgy is really rolling on. Completely missing that point and being ready to do the next thing. Dogen writes, vigorously abiding in each moment is the time being. Vigorously abiding in each moment. And if I really experience that, that's actually a lot easier than planning to be prepared for all moments in the future. Vigorously abiding this moment is actually comparatively simple. Vigorously abiding in each moment is the time being. Do not mistakenly confuse it as non-being. Do not forcefully assert it as being. Forcefully asserting it, this was a mistake, I should not do this again, this cannot happen, what do I have to do to make it? So how do you vigorously abide in each moment? When the clack sounds, you bow and turn. When it's time for the talk, you deliver the table and the tea. Vigorously abiding in each moment. So to close, let me just go back to Dogen again and to the poem that opened the talk. As an encouragement for this day of Zazenkai to really allow yourself to settle deeply, vigorously abiding in each moment, he said, if this greatest cold does not penetrate into your bones, how will the fragrance of the plum blossoms pervade the entire universe? Go on. Sentient beings.